May it please the court. My name is Angela Hardy, and I'm counsel for the appellant, William Curtis. The defendant was convicted on two counts, one for distributing and another for conspiracy to distribute cocaine base. As to the conspiracy conviction, reversible error occurred by the receipt of voluminous uncharged acts into the evidence. His trial began with a series of witnesses. Basically, the first third of the trial consisted of testimony concerning unindicted, uncharged activities of the defendant. The jury was inundated with substantial testimony and exhibits describing the defendant's activities in the year prior to the conspiracy activities with which he had been charged. All this evidence consisted of not just one, but four witnesses who described five descriptions of controlled drug buys from the defendant, and the jury heard three audio-tape recordings of those buys. Rule 404B excludes this type of evidence. It is only supposed to be admitted as an exception. One of the purposes that such evidence can be admitted for is intent, and in this case, conspiracy, intent is an element of the crime. However, this evidence would still have to be passed Rule 403's balancing test. And the court must also consider whether...
There's a problem here is they're not given the failure to object.
Correct.
Because it would be the objection that would cause the district court to perform the Rule 403 balance.
Correct, but this is the first third of the trial. I mean, like, witness after witness was testifying about things that did not occur during the conspiracy dates. And it's our position that that was an obvious error, that there should have been consideration as to whether this evidence should have been let in, that it was just clearly prejudicial to the defendant. Furthermore, even if each witness was to testify, what was to be admissible on its own, just the cumulative effect of all this evidence was prejudicial to the defendant. It was unfair to the defendant because, in a sense, it convicted him of acts for which he had not been charged. And furthermore, the other acts evidence was very dramatic in this case. This is where we had audio tapes of drug buys. We had much more than was described in the conspiracy of the case. There was not any tapes played for the jury during that portion of the case. And so beginning the trial with this much sensational evidence clearly left the jury with the impression that the defendant had a bad character, and that if he did those acts, then he must have done the ones with which he was charged also. After the trial, the defendant also filed a motion for a new trial based on newly discovered evidence. He was convicted for a distribution count, and at that scene of that drug transaction, there was recording equipment, and there was a tape that was taken from the recording equipment that supposedly recorded the drug buy. The defendant was charged with this distribution 2 months before his trial in a superseding indictment, and at that time, the court stated, you know, will there be additional discovery to be made, and the defense counsel requested any audio tape recordings from that event. The tape was never turned over, and apparently it seems that there was conversation between defense counsel and the government that they were uncertain about what the tape was contained. The defense counsel was under the impression that it was blank. However, at trial, the jury was told that they just would not be hearing the tape because the drug transaction didn't occur in the room where the recording equipment was installed, but that it happened in another room off to the side, so that there wouldn't be any tape played for the jury. If the defendant had had this evidence, this was critical evidence, this was the only evidence that was impartial to prove what actually happened during the drug transaction.
But wasn't the tape blank?
The tape was without recording when it was finally divulged, but that fact does create reasonable doubt as to part of the government's versions of events. They say that they installed it, that they recorded a little introduction on it, and then when it's handed over, it's blank.
They said that the tape malfunctioned, didn't they?
That's all we know. There was no record made of what happened. Apparently it malfunctioned. There's nothing.
In other words,
it.
You don't take the U.S. attorney's word on it.
We don't know.
Right.
I think there's confusion on it exactly what happened because it was presented in different ways to the jury.
Well, is it your position that the defendant would have wished to somehow introduce a blank tape if he had possession of it during the trial?
I think the defendant, if that is the position, you could have played for the tape, say, look, they said that there was all these things that happened in this room, that there was all these things that went down for this drug deal, and that there was no proof of it. So that the only
information... And it's up to the jury to determine who's telling the truth.
Correct. Who do they... it would just be another evidence about this, the only evidence available to this event, as to what actually happened on this event.
Have you examined the tape since that time?
No, I have not.
Did you ask to, after the trial?
No, I did not receive the tape, actually, when
I said, did you ask for it after the trial to examine it?
Did I ask for it? I got this case for on appeal, and no, I did not get the tape along with the record.
The defendant asked for it. After
correct. The tape was handed over to the defendant.
And he examined it?
Yes.
Okay.
If there is no more questions, then I think the rest of our arguments can rest on the brief.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Robertson?
Thank you. Can I please the court? My name is Amanda Robertson, representing the Appalachian United States. Regarding the 404B, other crimes evidence, as the court noted, there was no objection at the trial court. The evidence was admitted with no objection, and as set forth in the government's brief, we believe the evidence would have come on even over a timely objection in this matter. Regarding the motion for new trial based on newly discovered evidence, the court is correct that after the trial, the tape was turned over to the defendant. The defendant had possession of that tape before he filed his motion for new trial even in this matter. So he's had it, he's chosen never, there's no motion in the court that he chose to have it analyzed or asked for a court appointed.
How is it that the jury came to be told that there was a tape recording in this case?
Your Honor, in opening statements, the United States told the court they would not hear a tape recording of the control by, that the control...
Well, why would you even offer that? I mean, is there some... you wanted to discount the possibility that the jury would think that it ought to be recorded? Why? You obviously knew it was blank. The government knew it was blank.
Everyone knew it was blank at the
right.
time.
So why did you even raise the specter of a tape in your opening argument?
To set forth for the jury what the trial was going to be. They were going to hear that there was no tape from this control buy.
There's also no movie either, I suppose. You didn't say
well,
that.
There wasn't going to be any testimony that there was a video recorder placed in the house. There was going to be testimony.
There was going to be testimony that a video that a audio recorder was placed?
Absolutely. And a control buy, the case agent, Paula Parkinson of the FBI, testified. She didn't put a wire on this confidential source because this defendant had a reputation for searching persons. So for that reason, she placed a tape and recorder in the living room and a transmitter on the mantelpiece. She testified to that. She testified on cross-examination from defense counsel that when she went to request the tape from Springfield, the tape was blank. So it came out in front of the jury that, number one, there was tape recording equipment and a transmitter placed in the residence, and it also came out the tape was blank. There was nothing there. Her preamble was not there. The tape was absolutely blank. She testified to her belief that the tape malfunctioned. Which
you want to do it on direct rather than concerned that it'd be raised on cross, and then you'd have to do it on redirect. Is that the?
Certainly didn't want to look like we were hiding anything. We weren't hiding anything. The agent put a tape recorder in the residence, and it did not tape. What's interesting to note is the deal happened in another room anyway, and that's why the district court, in his order denying the motion for a new trial, found that the tape wouldn't have been material, even if it had worked. All the evidence was that the deal occurred in another room, so all you were going to get was the preamble. The agents actually identified the defendant as the person walking into the residence and coming out of the residence, so the tape wasn't going to go to show identification. Probably most importantly, the defendant can't meet the fourth prong of the motion for new trial, that being that the jury would have acquitted had they known the tape was blank, because in fact the jury knew the tape was blank. Ask that you affirm the district court.
Ms. Hardy, I thank you, Ms. Robinson. Do you have any follow-up? All right. Well, we've been...